This morning I want to begin a series on Christian living. I would be coming here in this session in the rotation. So I will be preaching and teaching some of these ideals that the church is called to in an attempt to instruct and to help our people. So please pay attention to the word of God today. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. The book of Titus gives a comprehensive sweep of Christian living. Chapter 1, of course, deals with the structure of the church as God gave the qualities of men in the church, officers. Chapter 2 moves from life in the church to Christian living in and out of the church. And chapter 3 enters into life of the Christian in the civil world. These are some instructions that are vital to the Christians. Titus 2 begins with the word but. And the word connects with a foregoing sentence that was made. As a matter of fact, it goes back to the whole of chapter 1, but particularly verse 16 of chapter 1, which says, there are some in the church, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Words are an inference of those in the church who profess the faith, but their profession of religion did not match their behavior. As a matter of fact, it was in contrast. And therefore, Titus is admonished, having said these things, Titus is admonished, but you, Titus, speak the things which become sound doctrine. That's the backdrop of this verse. Titus, if you're familiar with the book, was sent by Paul to appoint elders in the Mediterranean island of Crete, where there was a viable congregation, but there were many false brethren, mainly of the Jewish background. Wherever the church starts, we always have this surge, this scourge of Judaism. They had drifted into the congregation. And Titus was to build the structure of the church by appointing officers, elders, to form the government of the church that is similarly given in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I would suggest that we read these passages once every month. The book of Titus and the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. I'm speaking about along with your regular reading. I'm not speaking as a devotional book, but along with your devotion, if you have a devotional life, and you should, along with your devotional, you should read these letters. A weak structure will result in a weak building. Any high wind will blow it down. And Titus was instructed to teach sound doctrine. Now the word sound doctrine is mentioned at least 3 times in the chapter. The word sound means whole or wholesome. The word is used in Luke 5:31 when Jesus said, those that are whole don't need a physician, but those that are sick. In other words, the idea that some doctrine, when it is obeyed, is able to make a person spiritually well, spiritually whole. This is the idea behind this word, sound, whole. An essential requirement of every servant of God is that one must be a proponent of sound doctrine. Titus 1 verse 9, the apostle says, holding fast the faithful word as he have been taught. This is the minister, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So you see what sound doctrine does. It convinces and it exhorts the Christian, the listener. Word again. Now we are living in an evangelical culture today where most professing Christians do not know sound doctrine. They say, I'm not interested in doctrine. I go to sing and have a good time. But that's not what the church is all about. This is not what Jesus said when he said, I will build my church. And today all kinds of crazy things happening. Professing Christians do not know what is sound doctrine. To know is to apply. Now in this comprehensive sweep, I call it, of Christian living, the apostle begins with older men. Verse 2. That aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound. Here's the word again. In faith, in love, in patience. Yet you may have the King James. It says charity. I always struggle with that word because when we read charity, we think of old hats and old shoes and old clothes given to people. But the word is the word agapo. This is the strongest word, really, for love. In all love, in patience. Aged men don't necessarily refer to men who are advanced in age. We got some here, including myself. But aged men, all aged men are not sound men. Paul is referring to men who are advanced in the word. Men who are full grown in the faith. They should be required, or they should be mature in the six graces that are given in the context. Sobriety, grave, self-control. Now this is a problem among many men. A lack of self-control. Poor governance with their finances. Poor governance with their families. And these are things we ought to consider. Sound in faith, in love, patience. You remember what Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 teaches, where the apostle chides with the congregation, saying, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles or word of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a nepios. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Here it is. Age, men, mature. Even those by who, by reason of use, have their senses, their spiritual senses, exercised to discern, to know both good and evil. That's what we're talking about. And these words do show that being around a long time doesn't spell maturity in the Christian faith. I decided to take a little more responsibility here on Sunday mornings. Every person cannot teach the scriptures. This is an art that is given to a limited amount of people. Because teaching the scriptures is not only standing in front of an audience with a Bible. I wish that that was all it was. Don't forget, Balaam's donkey was able to speak to the prophet. We teach others as they observe us. Teaching is expressed in the things we say and do in the eyes of our congregation. And that's why you ought to look carefully at the minister of God. I don't mean, because if you look long enough at any man, you're going to see sin. We should not have the philosophy as some who say, do as I say, not as I do. That is nonsense. You ought to say to people, watch me. Do what you see me do. Come into my home, watch how I live with my wife. We quarrel at times, but by the next day, the quarrel is done. We teach as people observe. Paul asked some questions to the experts in Romans 2, 21 through 23. See, he says, you therefore which teaches another, teachest thou not yourself? You that preaches a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Apparently, the Pharisees were big thieves, big crooks. And here the apostle is making this application to them, the experts in the law. You that says a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Yes, you do. Because Jesus defined what was adultery. Looking at a woman with lust. You went on, thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege, idolatry? Yes, you do. He's saying these things rhetorically to the Jewish religion. You that make your boast of the law through breaking the law, do you dishonor God? You see how the apostle is revealing the hypocrisy of some teachers, me and you? Paul was speaking of those of the Jewish faith. They said one thing, but they did another. Those of us who have the word of God should be the first applying the word of God, unless we be guilty of these verses that I've just read to you. God help us that we are not this way. Paul moves from aged men to aged women in the congregation. And the same definition also is in view. So you can say, oh, I ain't there yet. Yes, you're there. Some people I've known here for 25 years that mean that you fit into the category of aged women. Age do not mean elderly or those who were around a long time or walking with a cane, but those who are grown in the word, hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word. The instructions to aged women is more detailed than for aged men, which you see. And I would not be able to gloss over it. That aged women likewise, and the word likewise mean like the men, that they be in behavior as become of holiness. And we know what this word means, by the way. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. There's a lot of gossip going around here. And let me say something. I have been considering with the deacons about back there on Sundays. And I bring it here to you. Back there, when women meet, or whoever, is still the house of God and the place of worship. Be careful in making false accusations that you cannot substantiate. Women can teach other women. This is the calling of women in the church, mature women. We teach by example. Women must teach good things. And you know what good things are. A lot of things we see and we hear are not good things. Make no mistake. You don't have to open your mouth to teach. You don't have to say a word to teach. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. If you're criticizing your husband among other women, you're not teaching good things. If you're disobedient to your husband in front of other women, you're not teaching good things. Whether we know it or not, we are teaching others without saying a word. We teach others by our disposition and our demeanor in the church. We don't look at those little things. The word of God can be blasphemed more so by one's actions than in words. These are serious instructions when unraveled. Peter says along this line about believing wise, do not let your adornment be merely outward arrangement or arranging the hair, or wearing of gold, jewelry, flashy jewelry, or putting on of fine apparel. These things have their place. But let it be the hidden person of the heart. Peter says, with the incorruptible beauty of a meek and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Women can teach others by their appearance and by their demeanor and how they carry themselves in the congregation without saying a word. So you're teaching. Unfortunately, the Western world today has minimized the spiritual importance of women in the church. I have a pastor here with me, I'm glad. I'm very glad he's here. This Western world has minimized and poked fun at a woman who believes the Bible. Today the church is short on secretaries. Women could do this. Sunday school teachers, because women are pursuing their career more than the church. Christian women. What about this holy calling that God has called some women to? Titus 2, 4, and 5. I'm not faulting these things. Don't misquote me. Other things can be done, but these things the Bible speak about should be primary among Christian women. Christian wives not only should love their husbands, they are not only called to love their husbands, but they are called to love his ministry. The two go together. So watch out what you're looking for and what you're getting. The Christian wife with a man as a husband in the ministry should love the ministry. That's what she vowed to when she made her vows. I like what the hymn writer wrote. Let me read it to you quickly. It says, sometimes I already forget the hymns. I think it's 280. I love thy kingdom, Lord. The house of thine abode. The church, our blessed Redeemer, save with his own precious blood. I love thy church, O God. Her walls before me stand, dear as the apple of thine eye, and graven on thy hand. For her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend, to her my cares and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. Unfortunately, reading like that. But the Christian wife, I spoke about husbands, should love the church. Not the walls there that stand before the person, the doctrines, the people is what we love. We support the doctrines. We love the people. We're short on this. We're educated people. We want to hear the spiritual meaning. I don't want to hear that. I want to see practical living in the church. Paul continues with young men. Move from aged men, aged women. Young men, likewise, verse 6. Exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, brevity, sincerity. Now these words are very, very important. People today are not sincere. People are phony. I could expect this in the world, where I always hear people saying, oh, my prayers are with this family, it's this lady, this little boy, this 15-year-old boy that got shot. Our prayers are with the, what prayers are with the family when you don't even go to church, no way. Who are you praying to? Who's your mediator? They have the right words, and Christians have joined the bandwagon, having the right words to say. No sincerity behind the words. Have a good day. Now, this is a cliche now. Thank you. Have a good day. Voice message. You've reached the office of so-and-so-and-so-and-so. I'm not available to take your message. Please leave me a message. Have a good day. Or they may even try and have a blessed day. You know the right words to say. But we should be sincere about God. Uncorruptness. A little poison in a glass of milk corrupt the bottle of milk or the glass of milk. Apparently Titus fit into this category of young men. So because he was told, likewise, exhort them to be sober-minded, showing thyself a pattern among the younger guys of good works. Every time I visit Zimbabwe, my friend Desire, as much as I preach, brother, pastor, scholar, as much as I preach during the conference, Desire makes sure he got 15 or 20 young people there. Pastor, young people waiting on you. I said, Desire, you want to kill me or something? He says, these people need instructions. You come alongside of me and interpret. And I, to be honest with you, I enjoy working with the young people. They make me feel young. So I have a class with them. The last time I was there, I preached on the prodigal son. I showed them three things that would ruin their life. Independence, indulgence, I don't remember the third one, but it was a third one, for two, three days. I asked the question, who in this class would like to be independent? Everybody had it up. I said, well, let me show you the other thing, indulgence. What are you indulging in as a young person? No hands. No hands. Then I begin to show them what the prodigal son indulged in. I wish I could remember the third one, but I can't remember right now. Titus' teaching was not only what he said with his mouth, but he had to be a pattern of the things you're seeing. He had to show forth the things he was teaching. So in our first meditation, if you want to call it that, today, this is a comprehensive suite. The duty of the church that the apostle is bringing these instructions to this young minister who is really engaging in a church plant endeavor. And our church has been seeking to reform for the last whatever years. And you can teach reformation, but you cannot reform people. You can't reform their lives. But you look for reformation in the lives that you're ministering to. And that's why we come. We must come and remind. As a matter of fact, this month is Reformation Month. Where Luther nailed his theses on the church wall. And today, this month, Reformed churches will be talking a lot about the five solas of the Reformation. So I begin the month by reminding us of these things that we are called to, that they are ideals, song speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Comprehensive nature of Christian living, aged men, aged women, young men, servants, which I would get into next time, all are to be taught song doctrine. Paul gives the reason why in verse 11 and 12. He gives an imperative, really. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And by the way, the all men here is not the all men in the world. The all men are those in the church who have become saved. Because the all men are teachable. All men in the church are not teachable, but all Christians are teachable. And here Paul says, the grace of salvation. Why I am instructing you this way with these things? Because the grace that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching them. And that's what grace does. So when people say, I don't like the teaching ministry, have the grace of God appeared? Because if it has, teaching us that denying, Paul put himself with this group, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So this ends our first Christian living from Titus. May God be pleased to bless his word.